if you were watching and reading the songs, so much put the focus and attention on who deserves it all is Jesus Christ. The battle belongs to the Lord. How great is our God. I speak Jesus, and one of my favorites from growing up, I used to hear this hymn quite often, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know what saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. And for you young folks, when it says prove, that means you tried him for yourself. You found him to be your friend. You found him to be everything that he says he is. And you could say, yeah, it's good to trust in Jesus. It is good to trust in Jesus. You can talk back to me. I'm real excited to be here. I'm fired up. And you know, this time of worship and praise is so important. And by the way, not just here. When you're at home, when you're driving to work, when you're by yourself, when you're getting ready to start your day and when it's coming to a close, it's so important to spend time in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced of this, that oftentimes my problems often arise when I don't put my focus and center attention on him. That's where I'm headed this morning, faith over fear. Because the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is he keeps all of his promises. And one of them, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Didn't he say that? And so oftentimes, I'll just speak for me, maybe you can relate to this, when we forget about his presence, or maybe focus on the presence, the things of this life, then when troubles arise, the storms of life rise, we can be shook by them because our attention will go from him to them. But this morning, I hope you'll be encouraged as we pray and walk through the scripture, Psalm 27, and we're going to look closely at how the Lord is described in these scriptures in the Psalm of Praise from David. And just by way of just, we're going to walk through this a bit, and I hope you're praying along with me, as I'm sure you are. David begins with this high praise of who God is. You'll see that in the first six verses, if you will. And there's a confidence that's arising that's not born out of David's own effort or David's background or David's skills, but as it relates to who God is, David could be confident in him. But then he ends with the following verses, 7 through 14, with prayer or petitioning God that God's presence would be the guiding focus of his life. You're going to see those two big themes, a confident praise, this is who God is, and here's how I can walk in confidence over fear, but then also I need his presence every day. So it's kind of that balance. On the one hand, we may praise God for all the things that he's done, but we also have to live in dependency on God. Did you catch that? We need both of those wings on the plane. Because how many know life can be rough? I got a couple witnesses in here. And it will throw you some curveballs. And you may find yourself in situations that you have never faced before in your life. But God is faithful. He is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He is omnipresent. He is holy. He is right. He is good. He's loving. He's merciful. He's infinite, and he's beyond measure. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Oh, we thank you that you seek worshipers. You, Jesus, said that God is spirit, and they that worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship. We thank you that you are a living God, and that we're not alone in this world. We thank you for the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ who've assembled here in Ventura, and that you would visit us by your Spirit so that as the songs and praises were lifted up, you inhabit the praise of your people. So be pleased to glorify yourself through your word And may the name of Jesus Christ be lifted up high. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 27. And we're going to be walking through Scripture here. The Psalms, if you heard me mention before, this is the hymn book of Israel. These are songs that were prayers and petitions. Sometimes they were laments, crying out to God for help. Sometimes they were imprecatory, like, God, I have some enemies, get them. There's a sense that the Psalms, you'll see a fuller range of emotions, but the center and the focus of the Psalms is the Lord himself. Your Bible may, you see all capital L, capital O, capital R, D, and this word Lord would be translated, how we would say Yahweh in Hebrew. This is the covenant name of God. This is the name he shared in Exodus to the Israelites. I am the Lord, your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the household of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And then he shares with them the law, if you will, how they, the Israelites, were to live in relationship with God. Fast forward, they're in the land, and they have kings. And one of those kings that we're going to read the psalm is David. Little footnote here. King David, he was a scrappy shepherd. You read the story of his life, he's one of the persons that you get the most of a backstory of his life from youth to adulthood to old age. Apart from Christ, he's one of the one persons you'll find in the Bible where you get a sweep of his whole life story. I say this by way of encouragement because we remember him fighting Goliath and the Lord gave him victory. But we also see in his story, there are times where David did some horrible things. One of which, sleeping with another man's wife, Bathsheba, and God punished him for that and dealt with him. But then you also see great times of trust in God when he was living on the run from King Saul, his father-in-law, who was out to kill him at several points in time. And the Lord would lead and guide him. Even there was times where he was battling and fighting and out in the deserts. So David experienced many of the lows and highs of life. But we also see the Bible would honor David as a man after God's own heart. Psalm 51, he says, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit, O God. And this great penitential psalm shows a picture of how David would turn back to God quite regularly. David, who was a shepherd who would become a king, penned by the Holy Spirit the words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I lack nothing. And he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So God was pleased to use David to lead the Israelites in worship to him, and also that they would live in covenant with him and with one another. Psalm 27 is this magnificent and beautiful psalm. And just as a personal testimony, this is one of the first psalms I remember reading and memorizing when I first got saved. And I can recall there were reactions from people who were in my life, some friends, some family, that all of a sudden, because I was following Jesus, they either didn't want anything to do with me or outright rejected me, or in some cases were skeptical. And I'm not saying this as a bragamony, but how many know that if you serve Christ, you're going to suffer from time to time? Now, I'm not talking about being obnoxious and Bible bashing. I'm just saying you're trying to live your life to please the Lord. Used to do this. I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, I love you, but I don't get down like that. Slang talk for that's not me anymore. Now, David had some challenges. And as I read this psalm through the first 14 verses, we're going to walk through four aspects of the psalms. And if you're one that takes notes and you have some space there, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3, the Lord, your confidence. We'll look at verses 4 and 6 through 6, the Lord, your desire, or your desire as in prayer. And then verses 7 through 10, the Lord, your prayer focus, or the one you focus on. And then we'll look at verses 11 through 14, the Lord, your courage, or the source of that. So as I read through it, let's be in prayer as we look to him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, or you might say the strength in your scriptures or stronghold of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I may seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Verse 7, and notice the pivot from talking about the Lord. Now he's going to talk to the Lord. See this shift. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Amen. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my enemies, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Faith over fear. If we're honest, we might admit that sometimes we allow fear to creep up in our hearts. We're human. We're made in his image, and we have the capacity to have fear, which can be a healthy thing when it's in its proper place. So if I'm walking down the street and I see a loose dog and he's a pit bull and he comes darting out the house and he's baring his teeth, I might have a bit of a reason to be concerned. I might want to slow down how I walk. I might want to think, because if I start running right at that moment, I may trigger that dog's chase reflex, and that dog who initially wasn't paying me any mind may come over and bite me. I've been chased by a dog or two in my life. But on the other hand, as one who loves dogs, sometimes I've found that I've called to that puppy and what have you, and they'll come over and I'll wind up petting them, and the dog is just like a little cub. And I'm just giving that to you, that it's easy for us in a moment to let fear take over. Fear of someone you don't know. Fear of maybe going into an office and you're starting off on the first day. Fear of neighbors you never had a chance to meet. Fear of circumstances, you know, will I have enough to retire? Fear of a loved one who may be going through a tough time or an addiction or a mental illness. Fear of how our children are when they're not around. All kinds of fear, and I wish I could say that it's all sunshine and rainbows, but sometimes those fears do come about. Going to the doctor, and the doctor comes in and takes off his glasses and says, Mr. So-and-so, I have some bad news, and then all of a sudden, they give a diagnosis. Get a phone call, 2 a.m., Charles, I have some bad news, so-and-so has just passed away, you'll need to book a flight. Show up at work, you've been working hard 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden there are layoffs and your name is on the list. Fear of walking down the street, maybe someone coming at you, asking you for something, and then maybe trying to rob you. This happened to a good friend of mine in Washington, D.C., principal of a school, great guy named Paul. Paul, if you're watching, I love you. Out in the street in his hometown, he got robbed at gunpoint. Great guy, but experienced the trauma of having someone put a gun to him. I'm not selling you anything that is, this isn't a car sales thing. God is faithful even in the most difficult of circumstances. And so David, who throughout the course of his life experienced some really tough times. May I say to you, and I say this in love, And somebody has earned a few of these grades right here. As my mom would say, she said, I gave her a few too. It's so important to keep your focus on Jesus Christ. Keep your relationship to him, because we're going to look at these scriptures, how the Lord is described. He is the one that is living and active, and he's able to carry you through whatever you're facing and even overcome them. David would testify to this, the scrappy shepherd who fought and was a soldier and a king. He says this, and look at the confidence, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is, and your King James may say, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, I love that. David, who knew what it was like to pick up weapons and have groups of people and facing somebody who wants to take his life, and he and the armies of God had to fight back, knew what it was like to face death, and sometimes even for things he didn't even do, like Saul trying to kill him. He said, the Lord is his light. This is the only scripture, and I was studying this just last night, reading through. This is the only scripture in the Old Testament where God, the Lord God himself, is equated to light directly. And the Bible has much to say, Old and New Testament, about how light overcomes darkness. And even militarily, light can make all the difference in war. I live off in the hills. I grew up in a city where there were city lights, but now I live up in Val Verde, if y'all know where that is. I love riding back there. But every now and then, I look at these roads where there's no light. It's pretty dark. We kind of take for granted light and everything, but if you've traveled the world, you've been in developing countries, and there are places where people live and travel in the dark, where the presence of God is their light. And by the way, you may work in situations like that too. You may be the only Christian in your family. But David said, and I hope you can say too, that the Lord is your light. The Bible describes God as being immortal and dwelling in unapproachable light. He's completely good. He's completely holy. He's completely all-powerful. And just a little bit of light will dispel darkness. He, by his Spirit and by his word, lights our path. He gives guidance. He gives direction. He gives power to overcome whatever you're facing. I enjoy Southern California. I got some of my early training in ministry in New Jersey, and there was a minister by the name of Andrew Foster, Reverend Foster. I'll never forget him. He was from Philly. That's Philadelphia for y'all here in California. And he grew up in an even rougher neighborhood. And so when I would teach or preach, he'd say, hand me your manuscript, and he'd go through notes, and he would coach and pray for me. But what struck me was that he saw his ministry not just within the four walls of the church, but the neighborhood. So he would invite me to go pray for people at their houses or walk the block. And there would be times, not too far from the church, people would be assembling to sell drugs. And Reverend Foster, in my tradition growing up, you sometimes would wear robes and things. He would walk off the church property. He said, come on, Clemens. He literally would walk across the street and go right straight over to the people dealing. And I'm just this 21-year-old wide-eyed like this. And he said, hey, I know you. I know your mother. I know your grandmother. They prayed for you. They don't want you living like this. God doesn't want you living like this. Come on, talk to me. And he would just sit there with his robe on. And I sit there. And he's sharing the gospel with people who are out dealing drugs right then and there. And this impacted me because as I walked and lived with him, it wasn't a put on. He loved them. And when I hear about CBC giving out food to the neighborhood and knowing that you're praying for people, the Lord is our light, and when we're here to collectively, but he's our light when in dark places. I get happy thinking about that because I've seen him do it myself in my own life. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And when you see that in Scripture, we often think of the spiritual salvation, and he is that because Jesus himself, his name is God Saves. When they said it's salvation in the Old Testament, it often meant deliverance or rescue, or that God would come in time and help you in when you most needed it. So when he goes to pick up those smooth stones by the water and he goes out to fight this seasoned warrior, it wasn't David's aim that got that rock into Goliath's forehead. It wasn't his strength. The Lord saved him and rescued Israel from the Philistines. The Lord would do it over and over. And by the way, are you facing a situation where you're needing the Lord to rescue you? I heard somebody say always. Let him be your salvation. What that looks like, I don't know. But he's able to do it. There's a lot to be said about that. Oh, my. There's a young fella. I wouldn't say young because I was younger then. I was about 27 when I entered the pastorate. And there was a youth retreat we had. A camp for a family camp. And the gospel was preached. And we looked around the building and said, if anyone wants to give their life to Jesus, raise your hand. And nobody in the building raised their hand, but way in the back, a seat almost on the other side, you know, as we have this door here, almost somebody sitting almost at the furthest end of the church, see this hand raise. The gentleman's name was Lavelle. And Lavelle came from out of gang affiliation and drugs and a whole bunch of other things. And he started coming to church. He started reading his Bible, and you saw the Lord changing him and transforming him in such a way that it was evident that he was following Christ and the Lord was sanctifying him and changing him. And around this time, we would invite all kinds of folks from the neighborhood, and this one gentleman who used to be a bodyguard with a certain rapper, he started coming to church, but his intent wasn't so good. And he would make passes at the ladies. He was disrespectful. So we had a conversation with him, said, hey, you're welcome here, but we ask that you conduct yourself like a gentleman. And he got all blustery and everything, and he wouldn't watch his language. I said, okay, if you're going to be this way, we're going to ask you not to attend anymore. And so he was furious, and he uttered threats. And one day, Lavelle and I are at the house, and we're having Bible study on my front porch. And lo and behold, and this, I'm about 250 now. This is like about 75 pounds ago. So a little bit smaller. But this gentleman, and I'm using that term loosely, I see a car pull up and he steps out and he's striding down my lane coming to my house to threaten me. And me and Lavelle are on the front porch having Bible study, and I look up and I'm like, and all of a sudden all these things flash through my mind. Is he here to try and, you know, fight me, rob me, shoot me? And so I'm about to just have words with him because he's at my house. And Lavelle, who himself, he's a little bit older than me at the time, he's since been to be with the Lord, he was just like, Pastor, it's going to be okay. And we had conversation with the gentleman, but basically told him to beat it. Why am I saying this? If I were by myself, that might have went very differently. He might have got the best of me or vice versa, but in that moment, it was amazing how the Lord orchestrated one, not just, and praise God for Lavelle's salvation, but also for my safety. And the Lord can save, and he can do it in powerful ways. Then the Lord is our defense or stronghold for our life. Your Bible may read strength. And for King David and for warriors, they would get to high points of safety. That's verse 1. If you're in a battle or you're shooting an arrow or throwing a javelin, if you're in the high ground, you're in a more secure place. Or a stronghold is a place of refuge that you can run to for safety. So David knew what that was like, particularly when he was running from Saul. But he also experienced that even when he dealt with the intrigues within his family. His own son, Absalom, betraying him, a civil war occurring, the counsels of Ahithophel, and you can read the story. There were people who were actively plotting to take him down, and yet the Lord would sometimes tip him off or providentially planned for him to leave a place just before the assassins would come. What I'm trying to say to you is we have an active, living God who cares about you. He cares about the hairs on your head. He cares about the tears you may cry. He cares about those who may want to do you harm. And he cares not only for your soul, which is an eternal thing, he cares about your physical man as well. This is the God that we serve. He cares if a young lady is sleeping in a car with their children and the food you give them is going to be the meal they have for that day. He cares if your spouse has gone away to somebody else. He cares if you have a child who's addicted with drugs. He is our refuge, and he invites us to put our confidence in him. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this is the God of the Bible. David goes on about his focus and his desire. He says, "One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord God all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." The Lord was David's desire. Scholars look at him saying, him wanting to go to the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, and that focus. And by the way, it was not so much going to brick and mortar and rock and stone, but the temple was a place where David would meet with God. He knew that in the presence of God, there would be fullness of joy. And by the way, the Bible teaches us here in the New Testament that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that when songs are sung, as our dear brothers and sisters were leading us in praises to God a little while ago, you too can experience that same joy. I don't know, maybe I'm preaching to myself. Has anybody experienced the Lord in your worship? Do you know him to be good? This is not play. This is real. There would be times as a kid I would sit and see people singing and pray. I'm like, why is Deacon so-and-so weeping? And why is that old lady jumping up and down? And and you would look and you're like, yeah, maybe some people. But then as you discover, he's real. Give him praise. He's real. He is real. And if you know he's real, you keep seeking his presence. Spend time with him. Tell him that you love him. Thank him for his goodness in your life. Praise him for his presence. I have no better friend than Jesus. Whoo, I got a lot of friends, but I have no better friend than Jesus Christ. I get happy when I think about his goodness to me. I don't deserve it. By the way, when we worship him and remember who he is, and what he's done, David said, "Who shall I fear?" That's the result. Because of who he is, fear starts to go down. Notice that. And then when we're worshiping, he says, one thing, that singular focus on him, as we worship him, it has a curative effect on our hearts. May I submit to you, if you're full of fear, That's competing with being full of the Holy Spirit. With my kids, when they were growing up, we would blow up balloons, blow it up as far as we could, and then we'd let it go, and it all over, right? And oftentimes, and I'll speak for myself, if I let fear take a hold, thinking about, what about this? What about that? Will we have this? Will we have that? What about this? And fear kind of gets big. Then all of a sudden, it's like, think about even conflict sometimes. It's not always related to anger, but it's related to fear. Many of you know I serve as a chaplain in a hospital. And I when I knock on a door, I say, "Hey, I'm the chaplain." And when I first used to do that, I would just say it, and then I would watch people's eyes get big. Am I going to die? Why are you here? Why you got the suit on? Why is it all black? What's going on? Do you know something I don't know? And I'm like, no, I'm just here visiting just to say hello. You know, you get discharged tomorrow, you know. So now I have to kind of preempt it. Like, hey, Charles, the chaplain, nice to meet you. Not bringing any bad news. Just here to visit. How can we support you? But I have to admit, if I'm on a plane and hit some turbulence, I'm like, oh, is it going to go down? Turn on the news. Here's some bad news. Well, what about this? What about that? Are we going to go to war with Russia? We're going to go to... And if we're meditating, and by the way, sometimes bad things do happen. But we have a living God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, sound mind, or self-control. We want that spirit to move us. Probably shared the story years ago as a kid. I got to go out on a schooner. It took kids from the city to go out on a boat to do the rigging and go through the process. Some of you who boat, y'all know all that, the terms way better. But what blew me away was once the sails were unfurled and they told us to hold on. This is in Jersey. This is out in the Atlantic. When the wind hit this large boat, the whole boat just kind of shifted and it was flying across the water. It was wind power. We have the living God who breathed life into us. We have the Word of God made flesh, Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not leaving you orphans, but I'm sending you the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who'll come alongside you, the Holy Spirit. When we are full of His Spirit, then He not only, first He gets the glory, because that's the chief end, that He be glorified. The Spirit's work is not to glorify us, but to glorify Christ. But then when you see Him operating in you and others around you in ways that you know it's not you, then you give Him all the glory. And you say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's the strength of my life. Who shall I be afraid? Oh, my goodness. We serve a good God. David said that was his focus. And that was who he prayed to. Verses 7 through 10. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, for you have been my help. Do not abandon nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Or when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. David puts his focus on God, and he prays a prayer of dependence. Having praised God for confidence in him, he is open and vulnerable before God. He says, the Lord, I need you. And that's a great place to be. He cries out to the one who loves and accepts him, and puts his confidence in him. Don't turn me away in anger. By the way, prayer can be a place of such genuine vulnerability with God because guess what? He knows it all. He knows about you. He knows about me. And amazingly, he still loves us. That's the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And David opens up with God in such a vulnerable place that the key people in our development, that when they reject us, God accepts us. He said, when my father and mother forsake me. You've heard me talk about my parents quite a bit, and particularly my father. I'm grateful for having had loving parents. I meet and counsel with people who've experienced great pain in life. And if you're here today and maybe you have experienced rejection from a father or a mother, that is a kind of pain that is a horrible thing. But may I tell you that your God and your Creator loves you. He loves you eternally. You're His son. You're His daughter. He sent Christ just for you. He embraces you with an everlasting love that will take you from here all the way into eternity. This is the God that I serve. He's so wonderful. I've been to orphanages, and I've seen kids praising the Lord. I'll never forget, first time going to Africa, this little boy was saying, come and go with me to my father's house, to my father's house. Jesus is the way to my father's house where there's joy. He said, there's plenty of food in my father's house. And these kids were singing and having a good time, and I met with some of them. I've been to other countries, other places, Africa is a continent, you know, other places where I've seen over and over where people who discovered that the Lord was their father. All the difference it makes. I think of some young folks I met in Ukraine and watching them worship and experience and meditate on that God was and is their father. And David, many scholars think that he may not have been well thought of because when Samuel came to anoint the king, his father pointed out everybody else but him. He said, you mean that guy out watching the sheep? So you may have grown up not well thought of in your family. There is a rejection that is a part of this life. Sometimes parents reject their children. Or reverse, sometimes children reject their parents. Put diapers on them, take care of them, raise them up for them to grow up and cuss you out. This thing happens. I don't mean to be facetious or anything, but these are the great ironies of life, or in some cases, bring it closer to home. You may have a spouse that's wayward. There are husbands who reject their wives. Their wives who reject their husbands. Their families reject certain family members. But David says, when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Has the Lord taken you up? I really mean this. Take it to heart that your God loves you as the Father who will never, ever, ever reject you because of Christ. Let that truth resonate so much in your mind that it builds strength in your character, that you know that your Father is the creator of this universe. He's made many children, but you're one of them. That'll put some strength in your spine. It'll put some spring in your step. That'll put some confidence because it'll be outside of this world. Oh, no matter what they call you, you can answer to being a child of God. Somebody says, not so much what they call you, but it's what you answer to. I hope you know that today. I hope you really know that you're a child of God. Let me go ahead on here. David speaks of this in a prayer. May the Lord take me up. Then lastly, the Lord, your courage. Look at verses 11 through 14. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Yeah, David, who praised God in the beginning of the psalm for victory over enemies, is now asking for God to continue to protect him from those same. He had all of those and more. You may be facing those as well. You may be facing them within your home, within your job, within your community, or even just as we face the challenges of life here as a people and as a nation. But notice verse 13. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Did you catch that? Do you believe that God could do something good right now? Do you believe that God, who is all powerful, can do something good in your life today? The living God who causes the sun to rise and the rain to fall on all people is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so church family and CBC family, believe that. Believe that for yourself and share it with somebody else. I have friends, I have loved ones, but some of them, I tell you, if they have that tape that's always negative, that's kind of all has the list of what's all going wrong, And then when you say, well, hey, why don't we pray about those things? They don't want to do that. They just kind of want to drone on and on. Can I be honest with you? That's when I get the egg timer going. I say, Heavenly Father, I got about 5 more minutes of this right here. Well, I love you. You know, I'm going to pray about it. Can I pray for you? No. Well, all right. I think I'm going to go work on dinner. Love you. Bye-bye. Because you can be full of fear. Then that's what you're operating from. And it's deceptive because a person might think the Spirit is leading them to list off all that's wrong, but not to pray about it or to trust God. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Faith and works. Well, David said, I would have despaired if I had not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then he gives this call for waiting on the Lord. Be strong and take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Faith over fear. We have a living God who's able to do so much and more. And so as we come to just a close, I want to pray for the church family. We'll pray again that you might be facing, and I'll invite the worship team back up. You might be facing something that is scary. You might be facing a challenge. May I encourage you, let the Lord be your light, your salvation, and your defense. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our times are in your hands. Thank you for who you are, and may your people keep our focus on you. Thank you for being the light of the world, Jesus. And I ask your blessings on everyone here, those online, the CBC family, those visiting, that from henceforth we keep our eyes on you and that our confidence be born in you, but we seek your presence through prayer. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.